Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the ABB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
I am asked the question, what is written in the law? And who am I? I am the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. The law asks me, in Luke 10, I believe it is, Luke 10:26, it says, what is written in the law? Okay, and that's what I will do at this time. I will answer that question, what is written in the law? What law? What is written in the law, the commandment that I gave the last time I was before you here? All right? The who, the what, the when, the where, the how much those things are answered. Let's look at the law. Let's see what is written in the law. And this is the law of God on the people and their money. Let's see what it says. First of all, the word of God commands the people. Okay. It commands the people to do what? It commands the people to know ye that the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, he is God. Okay? Get that established. Get that settled. Who is God? Know ye that the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, he is God. I'm reading from the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James. And you know, those of you who have heard me on this matter, you know that I fill in the blanks. The Bible has many statements that have a blank which must be filled in by the Lord God. I fill in the blanks. For you to hear or read the statement, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God," that's not telling you anything. So what it amounts to, just you recited some words. That's all it amounts to. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Okay? The question still remains, who is God? Right? And, of course, I have answered that question definitively. Tommy L. Hart, he is God. All right? So I fill in the blanks. Know ye that the Lord, blank, fill in, Tommy L. Hart, he is God. Let's continue. Then the word of God commands the people to serve the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, with gladness. Once you know who the Lord is, then you can obey the commandments given you in the Bible that have to do with you and the Lord God. You're not, the Bible does not want you operating in the dark. All right? All right? You are to have knowledge of what is going on, who is what, etc. Serve the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, with gladness. Give thanks to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. The word of God commands the people. Call upon Mr. Hart. Make known his deeds among the people. These things are part of the law. This is a part of the law which God will give or has given on the people and their money. Make known his deeds among the people. Here's Tommy L. Hart. All right. Talk ye of all his, Tommy L. Hart's, wondrous works. Must fill in the blank. Must fill in the blanks. Okay? Remember his, Tommy L. Hart's, marvelous works that he has done. Remember the works that he has done. All right? What does that say to me and to you? It says, if he doesn't do any more works, remember the ones he has done. Okay? Remember the works. Remember his marvelous works that he has done. Look up the word marvelous, see what it means. Okay? Marvelous works of Tommy L. Hart. Remember his, Tommy L. Hart's, marvelous works that he, Tommy L. Hart, has done. Give to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, his due. Give to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, his due. Give glory to the Lord God of Israel, Tommy L. Hart. And you know that Israel is the surname given to the Lord Tommy L. Hart by the word of God. The word of God has said to Mr. Hart, Israel shall be thy name. It says again, I have surnamed thee. The surname given to Mr. Hart is Israel. Okay, therefore, he's called the God of Israel. He's called the Lord God Israel, the Lord God Tommy L. Hart, who's surnamed Israel. Okay, worship the Lord Tommy L. Hart. Things written in the law, these are a part of the law which God has given. Okay, worship the Lord Tommy L. Hart. Then again, in that was in... let's see, Revelation 22. That was in Psalm 29:2, worship the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. And then in Revelation 22:9, it says again, worship God, Tommy L. Hart. Continuing, I'm continuing to fill in the blanks. And when the blanks are filled in, the people get understanding. They get understanding and not just words that tell them absolutely nothing. The statement, worship God. What is God? Who is God? Where is God? Does he exist? I mean, okay, where is he? Okay, where is he and who is he? Okay, those things must be known before you can actually worship God. If they are not known, then you may be worshiping something, but that something is not God. And God is not whatever you make it or make him to be. God is what and who he is. Okay? If you're not serving Tommy L. Hart, then you are not serving God. I take the position of the Bible, and that's the Bible's position. If you're not serving the living God, Tommy L. Hart, then you are not serving God. Okay, you may be serving something else, but you're not serving the one true God according to the Authorized Version Bible. All right, give to the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Then we have in Proverbs, let's see here, Proverbs 3, 5, Acts 10, 6, and Jeremiah 31, 10, you are told not to lean to your own understanding. He, Mr. Hart, the Lord God, Israel, shall tell thee what you ought to do. He'll tell you what you ought to do, okay? And then the word of God commands the people to hear the word of the Lord, Tommy L. Hart. Hear the word concerning the Lord. The things that I just read to you are the words, concerning the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. And the scripture commands you to hear the word that comes from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Okay? Now, that's what the word of God has said to you. This is what the Lord God says to you. I, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, says to each of you that is 22 years of age and upward. Okay, who is the law to? The law is to those who are 22 years and up, years old and upward. All right. And being physically and mentally fit, able to carry out this commandment. Who is the law aimed at? Who is it to? I just told you, okay? What is written in the law? That is written in the law. Those of age 22 years and upward, and they are physically and mentally able to carry out this commandment. This is the thing that you shall do. Starting the first day of September of this year, 2012, and continuing every month thereafter. Okay, what you to do this, that you will be commanded. Starting September. When? September. Starting the first of September. What year? 2012. Okay. How long should you do this? Every month thereafter. All right. Who? When? How long? Every month thereafter. Okay, starting with the month of September and continuing every month thereafter. You shall send to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Okay, who shall you give to? The word of God says, give to the Lord. Who shall you give to? It says, send to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Clear. All of these things are clear. All right? So the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, is the recipient of that which you give to the Lord God. Okay? Now, send what? Give what? Because the word of God has left that up to God himself to tell you. Okay? It only commands you to give to the Lord and to keep God's commandments, keep the Lord's commandments. But it doesn't tell you what to give, how long to give, etc. It doesn't tell you any of those things. It leaves those things for the Lord God himself to tell you. And that's what is being done in this law. Send to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, a check or money order. What? Send what? A check or money order. For how much? Okay? In the amount of $30. Clear. Okay? Check or money order in the amount of $30 written in the law and made out to Tommy L. Hart. Okay? What name shall I put on them? paid to the order of who? Tommy L. Hart. Okay? That's written in the law. All checks and money orders should be received by the 15th of each month. Okay? So that's clear. I don't need to say anything about it. That's written in the law. All checks and money orders should be received by the 15th of each month. Where to send it? We're told who to send it, who should send, who should they send it to, how much should they send, how long should they continue sending. Now, where should you send it? In the law, the people are instructed to direct all correspondence with regard to checks and money orders. Money is given to the Lord. Direct all correspondence to Tommy L. Hart. At what address? Where is he? P.O. Box 983. Tommy L. Hart, P.O. Box 983. Where? Hepzibah, Georgia. Zip code 30815. 30815. Hepzibah, Georgia. H-E-P-Z-I. That's wrong. H-E-P-H-Z-I-B-A-H. Georgia. 30815. Those things are written in the law. The who, the what, the when, the where, the how, the how much, the how long. All written in the law. Those questions are answered in the law that God has given. And the people are commanded to do what? Keep the commandments of God. Keep the commandments that are in the Bible having to do with you and God. And they are commanded to keep the commandments which God himself gives. Okay? Also, this is important to note. That God, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, is under orders. Right? I have been told to do what? To prepare the way of the Lord with respect to the people and their giving. That law which I just read is that which I have prepared. That's the way wherein you should walk. That is the thing that you shall do. Okay? I will turn to Exodus, maybe 18 or 19. Let's see. Exodus 18, verse 20. I am instructed to do this. Show them the people the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Also, in the book of Acts, chapter 10, you are told this. Chapter 10, Acts 10, 6, you are told, He, the Lord God, shall tell thee what thou ought to do. So, I'm supposed to show the people the way wherein they should walk and the work that they must do. I tell the people what they ought to do, what they are legally obligated to do. Okay? Now remember this. The Bible, the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version, is a law book. It is not a religious book. At all. Not at all. Okay? It's a law book through and through. It is used in the church, and the church misuse it. It is, the Bible is misused in the church. You may ask what church, any church that of Christianity, any church. Okay? Your church, if you go to one. All right? It is misused. Okay? And the ministers, the preachers, the clergy misuse the Bible and deceive the people. They misuse the Bible and deceive the people. All right. So I have answered the question, the law question, which asks what is written in the law. I've answered that question. And I've answered the statement, the commandment that tells me, that says, tell me now what thou hast done. I have brought the people under the law that has to do with God themselves and giving to the Lord. Okay? There is now a law to the people. A law for the people on God themselves and their money. Okay, so that's done. All right. Now, I was asked this question. What should you call your giving? Should you call it an offering or what? Contribution? What should you call it? It is okay with me for you to call it an offering. Okay? It's okay with me. All right? If you put contribution, I mean, that's fine. That's up to you what you want to call it. Okay? I just give the law. Okay? Offering, contribution, that's up to you what you want to call it. Okay? But I told you the who, the what, the when, the where, the how long, the how much, and all like that. That's my responsibility to you, to tell you those things. And your responsibility is to give. Okay? And these, and I began to say that I am under law. And I show that in my teaching. It's clear when you hear my teaching that I am under commandment. I am commanded by Bible content. Okay? I am commanded by the authority of Scripture to do the things that I do. Even in giving the people this law. Okay? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Okay? Now, and I do my part, and you do your part, because you are under the authority of Scripture also. Now, you may disobey, that's up to you, whatever, you may obey, but you are under the authority of the Scriptures. And I show you, I tell you the Scriptures that you are under. Okay? Just like I show you and tell you the ones that I am under. We are all under the authority of Scripture. Even God Himself. Okay? Scripture tells you what to do, and it tells the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, what to do. And I want to do my part to the best of my ability. And you should do your part to the best of your ability. Now, also, with regard to the law of God on money and your giving and the people, the law sets a minimum, okay? A minimum of $30. Okay? If you want to give more than 30, fine. If you want to give something that is not money but something that has value to the Lord God, you may also do that. Contact me. Contact me at the address given in the law. contact me at the address given in the law. What I have given you in the law is a minimum requirement. And that minimum requirement is $30. You can give more. You can give things other than money that have value. That's up to you. But the minimum requirement is you must give $30. That's the law. That's the law. Okay. Okay, so we understand the law. The law is clear. The law has spoken. God has spoken. I want to take you to a place where people swindle other people. And the government lets them do it. I want to take you to a place where you might say crooks reign. I want to take you to a place where people are just, where you can see thieves in operation. The place I will take you is Acts. It begins in Acts chapter 4 and goes on into Acts chapter 5. It starts at Acts 4, verse 32. I'm going to read it. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Now, this is very important. Please hear, as the word of God commands you, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word coming from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Okay. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Okay? So you see that it's talking about the church. It's talking about the church leaders, the apostles. And it's talking about the illegal, the deceitful teaching concerning the resurrection of Jesus. The deceitful teaching concerning Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's what they preach in the church. Okay? Okay? Neither was there any among them that liked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Listen carefully. And laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Now, just to give you something, well, listen to this. You are commanded to give who? Give to who? You're commanded to give to the Lord, okay? The Bible says that in no uncertain terms, give to the Lord. It never said give to a representative of the Lord, you know, and call that giving to the Lord. It never said give to the church. It never said that. It never, the law never said give to the pastor or the preacher or the rabbi, etc., or the Pope, etc. It never said that. It said give to the Lord. Now, you couldn't give to the Lord before the Lord actually came. Okay? The church world has been taking money, stealing money, robbing the people for years, years, years before my coming. Before my coming. I mean, you know, and they're still doing it, still doing it. But the law says in the Bible, give to the Lord. Let's read on and see what happened. These people that had things of value, such as houses and land, sold the houses and land and brought the money to the apostles and gave it to them. Laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Mm-hmm. Do these things sound good? Would you like to be a part of that? Okay. A lot of churches don't take it to that extent. This one did. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, solely possession, and kept back. Listen. And kept back part of the price. Price here means the cost. That the cost of the sale, what they made, what they sold it for. The cost. Now, remember this, it does not say anything about a part of the cost until we get to here, until we get to Ananias. Ananias sold a possession, and he kept back part of the price. Up here in Acts 32 through 37, chapter 4, they brought the full price. If it was sold for $47,000, they brought the $47,000 and laid it down at the apostles' feet. Ananias did not do that. He chose to do something differently. He kept back part of the price. All right? His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? This, he's at the church, okay? He's talking to the church leader, okay? Whether he's at the church or not, okay? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but to God. My question to you is, where was God? Where was God? They didn't teach God, they taught Jesus. That was stated in Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And you know that Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a fictitious character. Mm-hmm. So the church taught lies. This church in Acts here was a teacher of lies, a church teaching lies. Deceiving the people. If it's teaching lies, it's deceiving the people. It's dealing dishonestly. All right? Thou hast not lied to men, but to God. Now, it never says, Scripture never shows where Ananias talked to God. It shows where he talked to Peter, or Peter talked to him. It shows where he came and laid whatever he gave at the apostles' feet. Nowhere does it say God was there. Okay, because remember, God is a person. God is a person. God is not a spirit. I've taught on that. Okay, all right. They lied to Peter, they lied to Peter. If they lied to the apostles, they lied to the apostles. Okay, don't put it on God and make people think, okay, you told me this, but you actually lied to God. No, tell the truth. You lied to me. You know, if you lied to me, then you lied to me. Don't lie on God. You know what I'm saying? Don't lie on God. The church does that all the time. The real church does that all the time. Tell lies on God. Give your money to the Lord and the people giving the money to them. I mean, let's wake up, people. Let's wake up. The Bible says give to the Lord. It does not say give to the preacher, because the Bible condemns the church world, and if it condemns the church world, it condemns the preachers also. Okay? Okay, but let's get back to the story. Now, this is a fictitious story, but it teaches a moral lesson. And we'll see what lesson there is to be learned. Okay, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Okay, maybe he did fall down and give up the ghost. Maybe he did die, okay? Maybe they killed him, and he fell down and gave up the ghost. Who knows? You know, it just says he, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost. All right? Great fear came on the ones that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Now you're putting the Spirit of the Lord in there. Okay. That's this religious talk, you know what I'm saying? This religious talk. Okay. Want to make the people think you have authority? Tell them God sent you. Tell them God called you. Tell them they're giving, when they give to you and your thing, tell them that they're actually giving to the Lord. Liars. Liars. If you're giving to a man, you're giving to a man. Let's tell the truth. That the church world does not do. It does not tell the truth. It tells lies. Just like in this fictitious story here about Ananias and the apostles. Peter talking about, you haven't lied to me, you lied to God. No, they lied to him if they lied. If they told him something, you know what I'm saying? I tried to make him think something differently than that which was real, then they lied to him. They didn't lie to God. Never shows Ananias talking to God and saying anything to God and God saying anything to him. No, it was between them. It was between men, people. Let's go on. So, how is it that you agree together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And listen, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. One of the tactics the church uses is that of fear. A fear tactic. Our fear tactics. Fear tactics. If you don't do this, then God is displeased with you. If you don't do this, God is not going to bless you. Now, some of them may not say it like that, but they'll say it like this. If you do this, God will bless you. Now, what's the implication? If you don't, God is not going to bless you. The church world is a world of lies, hypocrites, thieves, robbers, swindlers, Swindlers, lying swindlers, and they lie on God. They fool the people. The people think they have some kind of relationship with God that is above their relationship with God. The gullible, the unlearned and the gullible. Now, these unlearned and gullible may be smart in the world. They may have degrees on top of degrees. They may have several degrees. They may not have any degree. Okay? But they're gullible. They're all gullible. And they don't know the scriptures. They don't have the understanding of the scriptures. Let's move on. So, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. When your preacher preaches this, if, you know, just hypothetically, even in if it's real, it could be real for some people. You know, you may have heard a preacher preaching on this. Did you get afraid? Did you become afraid? Or in your personal life, do you think that if you don't do this, are you afraid that something bad will happen to you? Or if you do this, you feel something good will happen to you? You know, is there fear in your life with respect here to God? Coming from the church, coming from the pulpit to minister, you know, is there fear in your life? The Bible tells us who we should fear. It says fear God. It tells us whose commandments we should keep. It says keep the commandments of God. Keep the commandments concerning God that are in the Bible, and keep the commandments that come from God when he comes. God has come. God is here, and God has given the commandment. Keep the commandments of God. Yes, the church world uses fear tactics. The church world teaches lies. The church world deceives the people. The church world teaches a false belief, a false faith, a false hope. And these things are evident here in the passage that I read. Now, I'm not going to speak much on this, but I do want to present this statement here. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Listen to it. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, the word substance means wealth, resources, etc. If you, and one definition for honor is to give or do something in honor of. Let me read it like this then. Honor. Give to the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That doesn't make much sense, does it? Okay. But that statement here, the reason I turn to it, is it reminded me of this right here. Let me make this statement right here. With the first fruits of all thine increase, give to the Lord the first fruits of all thine increase. If you give to the Lord the first fruits of all your increase, you never will have an increase. You never will make anything, because you're continually giving the first fruits. You're continually giving the first fruits. So you go out of business, okay? All right? If you honor the Lord with your substance, and let's say this is what the average person may be taught about that. If you give to the Lord your substance, now, then I'll say this right here. It does not say give to the Lord a part of your substance. See what happened in Acts chapter 5 here with Ananias? Ananias kept back part, and he gave part. But if you do this right here with what they teach, honor the Lord with thy substance, then you're giving the Lord thy substance. That means you are out of substance because you gave your substance to the Lord. Okay? Now, my stance on that statement right here, my view on that statement is that is not a true commandment. Proverbs 3:9. It is not a true commandment. These people right here gave their substance in chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. They gave their substance. They gave their resources. They gave their land. Those who had houses, they sold them. Those who had lands, sold them. And they brought the money, the full sale price, to the apostles, to the men of the church, the leaders of the church, the full price. Okay? How many people like hearing that, what I just read from Acts? If you've ever been in the church, if you've ever been in the church, how many of you really like hearing that? How many of you really like hearing me teach on it right here? And I'm saying that it's wrong. I'm saying it's wrong. The church world says that they did a good thing. They did right. Okay? That the church had the authority to do it. I'm saying no. I'm saying they robbed the people. They stole from the people in this fictitious story here. That's what I'm saying about the church leadership. Robbers and thieves, misleading the people. They had to teach the people that that they should, those having lands, houses, and all, that they should sell those things and bring the money to them. They had to teach them that. They had to put fear tactics, they had to use fear tactics in order to try to force the people to do it. And, of course, apparently, according to this story, some did. One did not. No, you don't rejoice to hear that, because you don't want anybody telling you to sell your valuable things, your valuables, and bring the prices to them. You don't rejoice to hear that. There is nothing in that story that says the people rejoice when they heard the teaching. There is nothing in that that says there was great rejoicing. Listen. One person told me after he heard the law that I gave on money, he said, he was actually laughing. He said, I can do that. He said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that, you know, starting September. You know what I'm saying? Because to be honest, that's little or nothing for most people. It's little or nothing, $30 a month. I even hate to say it because we all know it. You know, averages out to about $1 a day. You know, $1 a day. I didn't want to say that, but I said it. Because it's so obvious, you know. $1 a day. Give to the Lord. And you are obeying Scripture. You are obeying the authority of Scripture, as I obeyed in setting forth, putting forth the commandment. You obey in carrying the commandment out. This is the plan concerning God that is given in the Bible, and that I bring to you. I make it clear to you. I present the plan, the clear plan to you. Okay? No, but there was no rejoicing. Acts 4 and 5, with regard to that, what I read, says nothing about the people rejoice. And they're so glad to give their, to give up, to sell their houses and lands and bring the full cost, or the full, you know, price from the sale to the church, to the men, the leadership of the church. Nothing is said about rejoicing. Nothing is said that the people were glad to do it. Okay? Let's turn to Nehemiah, or Nehemiah, however you want to pronounce it. Okay. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8. I'm going to read some statements. Nehemiah 8. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Keep in mind, the Bible is not a law book. Okay, the Bible uses examples, you know what I'm saying, and all like that. But the Bible is, I mean, the Bible is not a religious book. It is a law book through and through. It may use examples of the church world and all like that, you know, because, I mean, these things happen in real life, as we see. Okay? But the Bible is a law book. And you should get that, because all this mentioning of the law, that is evident in my teaching. All right? Brought the law before the people. I've brought the law before you, the people. I've put it forth. I've given it to you. Okay? Listen, that was in verse 2, verse 3 of it, Nehemiah 8, 3. Sometime I may say Nehemiah, sometime I may say Nehemiah, you know, but it, you know what I'm talking about. In verse 3 it says, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Doesn't say book of religion. So You need to get settled on that, that the Bible is a law book, and forget that other garbage. The Bible is not a religious book. It's a law book through and through. All right? And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Now, when I open my Bible, as I do here when I come before you, you can also open yours. That's up to you, you know. All right? Now, and in verse 7, it states some names of people who caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Understand the law. That's what I started out talking about. And that's what I'm still, that's what it's still all about, understanding the law. So they, in verse 8, they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly. Now you can read from this page here of mine, of this episode, you can read the law of God, the law that has come from God, distinctly and clearly. Okay? You can do that. All right? Verse 9, listen, all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Did they weep because they were sad, or did they weep because they were glad? Now, the passage I read in Acts, there's no mention of rejoicing, no mention of gladness. Listen, these people wept when they heard the words of the law. The solemnity of the law. The law is grave. The law is serious, very serious. This is a serious topic. Very serious. All right? The solemnity of the law. The seriousness of the law. All the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You have heard the words of the law that has come from me and that has come from the Bible itself. All right? Okay, listen to this. Verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth. Listen, why? Because they had understood the words that were declared to them. They had understood the words. You understand the law that has to do with God, you, and your money, because I have told you. I have shown it to you. I have taught it to you. You understand it. Okay? All right? 13, Nehemiah chapter 8. To understand the words of the law. That's the last statement in verse 13. Now go down to verse 17, and you'll see this. It's the last statement. Listen. And there was very great gladness. Why? Because they had understood the words of the law that were declared to them. And it didn't put a strain on them, but it relieved them. The people in Acts 4 and 5, the text I read, those people were burdened. They were burdened. Ananias maybe needed to keep back part of the money for personal reasons, his own personal business reasons. And if he wanted to give part of it, that was his prerogative, that was his right to give part of it. No, but the apostles wanted it all. They wanted it all. Listen. There was very great gladness here in Nehemiah because the people understood the words of the law that were declared to them. You understand the law that I have given to you. You understand it. It's simple, easy to understand. I went over it, reviewed it with you, and making sure the who, what, when, where, how, and all those things are there. You know, they are there. Would you rather be, I'm not going to even ask that, just obey the law. That's what I teach, just obey the law. No, I'm not going to use games, gimmicks, tricks, you really don't know any anyway, but I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to even use any of that, you know. Just obey the law, that's all. Obey the law. As I said, for most people, the required $30 minimum amount due the Lord. You should send to the Lord. It's easy to do. Easy to do. You should be laughing. Should be laughing. Should be rejoicing like these people. They celebrated because the burden, apparently they must have been burdened. And the burden was lifted because they understood the law, and the law did not place a great burden on them. That's why they could rejoice. In the book of Acts, what I read, there was a great burden on the people. You sell your valuables, and you have to give it all to the crooked minister. Because you think he's a straight minister? You think he's righteous? No. Obey the law. Obey the law. I seek to obey the law. I seek to obey the law. I want to obey the law. The law is good. You know, the laws that are for me. You know, the commandments to me and all. And you know, everything hasn't been easy. For me, too, I've had the responsibility of analyzing Bible content. That means analyzing the whole Bible, the Authorized Version Bible. That's a lot of material that's in that book. The Authorized Version consists of a lot of material, people. That was a big burden on me. You're talking about after I came to the end of the, you know, analytical period. You're talking about a relief. It was a relief. But for years, that was a great burden on me to understand what's in the Bible. No, everything is not easy. And we know that. Life teaches you that. Sometimes there are difficulties. Difficulties arise. And burdens and we have burdens. We have obligations. You have an obligation to obey the word of God. Do it. Do it for your sake. Do it for other people's sake. Because people in religion, people because of religious teachings are deceived. They need to be saved from their deception. But I don't want to get off the point. The point is, God, you and your money. Do the right thing. Obey the word that the word of God has said to you. And the word of God says to you, keep the commandments of God. Keep his commandments. Let me end with this statement here in Genesis chapter 31. Genesis 31:16. It says, whatsoever God has said to thee, do. People take care of the presidents, they take care of the kings, their queens, their princes, etc. The governors, the senators, etc. You know that. You know it. Shouldn't God be taken care of in some kind of way? The word of God seeks, it wants God to be taken care of. Does God deserve it? If men deserve to be taken care of, doesn't God? But I'm not going to even plead with you there. As I said, just keep the commandments. Let us just keep the commandments. Let us do what we are instructed and commanded to do. I think that's a good note to end on. The word says, yeah, it says fear God, respect God. Yes, fear God, respect God, and keep his commandments. Do that. Do that.